So the other day, I was driving in the car when I encountered profound suffering. And it wasn't mine. I was totally fine. I was there sitting comfortably in my car. The thing I saw, though, was cars that weren't fine. There was a multi-car accident that I saw. Cars were crumpled up. There was fire trucks, ambulance, lots of people rushing around to help. But in the middle of suffering, I noticed something about myself and about other people. There was an abundance of worry and just anxiety. There was one thing that was scarce: patience. Nobody was okay waiting. Everybody in the scene was trying to rush things along. The people in the ambulance, for really good reasons, were in a rush to get to the hospital. Family members, and I saw them, they're just yelling at fire department members and on their phones, yelling into the mouthpieces. The fire departments are rushing to safely get all the fluids off the ground. And me, the person who had no reason to be in a rush, I found myself being impatient. Because in the middle of suffering, I wanted to go home, and I found myself, who had nothing to worry about, getting frustrated because nothing was going as fast as I wanted it to. And here's something I just learned about myself. When I'm in the middle of suffering, whether it's someone else's or my own, I do have empathy. Like, I totally understand why, I don't know, why rehab takes so long. I get why surgery is a long, long process. I get why the grief process is a process. I even understand why the wheels of justice turn slowly. Like, I get it, I just don't like it. Like anyone else, I want to snap my fingers and see the person who needs to be in the hospital instantly getting the best care possible. I want, I don't know, a lightning bolt to come down and somehow make everything in the world right in our country and government and culture and families and world. I wish I could stand here right before the offering and pray for all the hurting people that we worry about, and the minute I say amen, get the news that they're healed. Sometimes I even check my phone to see if there's any updates, but it doesn't work. I have to wait, and I don't like it. It's frustrating, and to be honest, I think being impatient is probably really not good for me. Like, and it's not just me, right? I'm convinced that one of the biggest challenges that you may encounter in your life, it's not just the suffering you run into, it's the challenge of waiting with hope. You know who likes to wait? Nobody. We want things to go faster, so we get frustrated, we take too much control sometimes, and then we find ourselves gripping the steering wheel as though it helps and hitting things. And what we want is progress, and when we don't have patience, it can actually mess you up a little bit. Now, for months, we've been looking paragraph by paragraph at the book of James, a book about finding joy in the middle of trials and suffering. And if you were here, we talked a lot about how your identity matters. The fact that in the middle of so much chaos, when you really know that you're one of God's kids, it makes things a little calm. We talked about how that sort of faith gives you stability and the energy to love your neighbors. We've talked for weeks about all the danger that comes when you're under stress and suffering, when you think you have to carry the whole weight of the world in your hands, when only God can do that. If you heard last week, we were in chapter 5, and we talked about the fact that when your resources make you think that you don't need God, that's the right time to weep and repent. And if you're here last week, we left off with the complaint that rich and powerful people have been corrupt, they abuse power. In fact, the verse we ended up on said that people have actually died unfairly. And one day, God will make everything right, just, fair, and good. This week, though, James gives a word to those of us who suffer and want justice instantly. And the word from God to people like me who wish God would just snap his finger and fix family, take away grief, make things better, because he can, God has a word for that. And if you've ever been like me, if you've ever felt all the weight or anxiety of wanting things to get better, now I just want you to hear God's word for you. And to be clear, it's not my word. I don't want to hear this. This is what God says. This is James verse or chapter 5, verse 7. James writes, be patient. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Guys, this is hard. Being patient is hard, and you need it all the time. Like, you need patience for all the little things that irritate us constantly. Parents, you gotta be patient with your little kids, because they whine and they cry, or they get older and they may rebel. If you're married, it's a commitment, but it's also an exercise in being patient with your spouse. Church leaders, people who have responsibility at work, health issues, like life may speed up, but you know what stays the same? You're always waiting. And James is specifically talking about waiting for things to look better when it looks like evil people are winning. Now, what lots of commentators point out is that James as a whole looks a lot like the Old Testament. This part of James looks like part of Psalm 37. I'm just going to read this for a second. Psalm 37 says this, do not fret because of evil men. That's powerful. For like the grass, they'll soon wither. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. That's what the Old Testament says. Or verse 5, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. A little while and the wicked will be no more. This is both profoundly helpful and echoes of what James says. Or Solomon in Proverbs makes the point a little bit more concisely. He says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong, says Proverbs. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you, says Proverbs 20:22. Or take the book of Job, which over and over again, Job calls on righteous people experiencing profound injustice and disappointment to wait on the Lord. Today's passage, James says you need to wait on the Lord. And you see why, right? Wait because the Lord is coming. Now let me flesh out for a second what it means to be patient. And this is important because there are at least three different ways in the passage that you read where James tells us to be patient. The first word used in Greek, be patient, it means wait. It's sort of like when you get like a cut or something and you're waiting for it to heal. You know what you do to make it heal faster? Nothing. Don't scratch it, like don't pick at it. You gotta wait, and that's sort of what being patient means. Patience means, I don't know, use the word like forbearance or long-suffering. That's the first thing James says. Verse 8, now look in the Bible or in the handout, James uses a different word. James says, quote, establish your hearts, which is different from just waiting for something to heal. Establishing your heart is getting a sense of steely resolve. It's like when Luke 9 describes Jesus as setting his face to go toward Jerusalem. It's not just waiting, it's I'm going to do something and I'm going to stand firm with resolve. That's part of being patient. That's what it looks like when someone may be coming at you with anger or frustration and you opt to, instead of returning anger for anger, just being steady. Being patient sometimes means not getting worn down, not giving up, not getting pushed over, but being patient. The third word used is verse 11. James blesses those who, you get this idea of people who persevere. This is the active side of patience. Patience or perseverance can be actively determined to keep going steadily on the course that God put you on without getting knocked off, to keep on keeping on. This is what it looks like for a runner to finish a marathon or someone in business to finish a project, that part of patience means keep going in the right direction even when things look hard. That's what it means to be patient. Be patient. Wait. Get grit. Keep on going. This is all what God tells us to be. instead of being impatient. The thing is, most people, and I'm one of them, instead of being patient, we are naturally impatient. When we're impatient, we sometimes take control or react or punch back or something. And James has spent chapters talking about how we often naturally sin when we're impatient. Hurt people. So you get something like verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Like, God's going to make things right. The judge is showing up. You don't have to fight too hard for just yourself. You know what doesn't help when you're stuck in traffic? Yelling at people through closed windows. Doesn't even make you feel better, right? This happens all the time. People, we get in a bad mood because we're frustrated. Here's what I've seen. I've seen people who really want support, who wonder why they don't have more friends, who want people around them. And I'll watch those same people push away people who should be their biggest asset because they're frustrated, so they just yell at people. And then they sit there going, I wonder why I don't have more friends. And I know the answer to that. Grumbling against people isn't a good connection strategy. So instead of being impatient, lashing out at people, be patient, persevere. And then James offers some built-in illustrations. I love these. For example, he says, you ever see how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains? Just like that farmer, you also be patient. So I have a good visual. I'm not a farmer. I don't have really crops to speak of. But right outside, I can almost see it from this window. A couple years ago, I kind of almost accidentally planted a plum tree. And in a few months, if the weather cooperates, if pollen does its things, this tree will be full of purple plums. In fact, if you want, if you have my permission, in a couple months, walk by, pick a plum, eat it. They taste great. But right now, there's no plums. The tree is full of flowers. Some of them got knocked down by the rain, but don't eat this stuff on the tree. It's not plums. There's no plums. We have flowers. And do you know what I can do to make the flowers turn to plums faster? You know what I can do to speed up the process? Actually, if you have any ideas, let me know. But as far as I know, not a thing, right? There is not a scenario, barring a trip to the grocery store and duct tape, that I can have that tree full of plums. The fact is, good things take time. So you wait for the sun and the rain, the early and late rain, and all I can do is wait, be patient, and God brings fruit. Sometimes there's things I should do, maybe get the kids to stop climbing the thing or whatever, but for the most part, all I do is wait. And for James, the idea of waiting for processes to produce fruit is a metaphor for all of your life. Wait, stand firm, keep steady. But you gotta wait. Because at any moment, the Spirit brings fruit. Your life is constantly doing the right thing and then waiting. Waiting can be the hardest part. And here's the other thing. If you have reasons to be impatient, if you're ever looking at your life and going, why isn't there fruit or result or reward? Or how come rehab takes so long? Why does surgery get so complicated? Why is my family still a mess? If you've ever gone, why, God, is it taking so long? You're actually in great company. James continues, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers. Let me give you examples. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. What James says is, pick a hero in the Old Testament, a prophet, man or woman who had the job to tell people that God was about to act. Do you know what they did for most of their life? Waited. And people laughed at Noah, like, seriously, rain, really? People laughed at Jeremiah and Moses and all these characters, but you know what they did? They waited. They had patience, and God rewarded them. Or next verse, you may have heard about the steadfastness of Job, remember that guy? And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, and how, here's what you need to know about God. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. The book of Job is about one man who looked at his life and said, God, this isn't right. Surrounded by people who said, Job, you must have done something awful. And you know what Job was? Well, he wasn't happy. He was patient. Eventually, God came through. Here's what I believe God may be telling you today. In fact, let me start here. I want to give you an assignment. Imagine, like really do this. Imagine part of your life where you are impatient. Maybe it's healing after a procedure. Maybe it's going through a challenging season at work or wherever you are. Maybe it's a season with the kids or parents or finances or debt or any number of things in the news where you go, God, why do I have to wait? Now, it's a real assignment. Label it. Name the pain. I actually want you to think of something that you're most eager to have over with. What is, don't say it out loud, but what is that thing where all you can do is wait? Everyone has something? All right, I want you to take that with one hand, and I want you to let this truth shine on it. It's the language of James. You may be impatient, but you have seen the purpose of the Lord. Like, God has a plan, and you know that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Like, that's true. So be patient, because Jesus is coming. That God has a purpose. He's doing something. And God's plan may not be executed instantly. God may not be as quick as you want, but you know what God is? Well, God's compassionate and he's merciful. God's doing something with whatever that flowering fruit tree is in your life. He may not see it, but he's doing something. There's gonna be fruit one day. God's doing something with seeds under the ground and you can't see it, but one day there's gonna be fruit. And God is compassionate and merciful, so you can trust him with whatever thing that is. And I'm convinced once you confront the fact that God has a plan, he's compassionate and mercy with whatever you're frustrated with, once you can put those things together, you can be patient, brothers and sisters, as we wait the coming of the Lord. In a minute, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper as we remember and we wait. As we remember what God's done and we wait for him to return. Before we do that, though, we're going to pray. And I don't do this every week, but there's going to be a part during this closing prayer where I stop talking. I'm going to pause and give you the space to talk just you and the Lord. To bring before him whatever that stubborn issue, whatever that season is, whatever that disappointment that weighs heavily, impatiently in your heart. I'm going to give you the space to bring it to the Lord who is compassionate and kind. So, oh Lord, we are often, for good reasons, impatient. We don't like waiting. And today I think about the things that burden us the most. God, today, can you please be with folks? Just silently pray whatever you're impatient about. Lord, you hear our prayers. Whatever they are, can you not just answer them, but could you give us the patience, knowing that you're going to come through? And can you give us a vision of your mercy and kindness that helps us to be steadfast as we go forward through whatever you have for us? Father, help us to be just patient and trusting and loving toward others as we go through whatever suffering you have before us, whatever trials, give us joy in all of it as we follow the example of your loving Son, Jesus. I ask all this in the name of him. Amen.